to have heard the name Jesus. But way more than hearing it, God allowed us to hear it preached. Amen. In the power of the Holy Ghost to the place where He revealed Himself to me and to you. If you're saved, you didn't get saved by saying a prayer, or you didn't get saved by joining the church. But if you're truly born again, it's because the Holy Ghost of God revealed the Lord Jesus Christ to you. The Bible says something, I'm not got this verbatim, but we shouldn't rejoice over this miracle or that, but rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That we have eternal life. And that is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you've heard the old time preachers used to say, all of this in heaven too. I know life gets hard and difficult, and bills pile up, health issues, and just the way this wicked world is shaping up. But I'm telling you, He didn't just save us to take us to heaven. And He's not waiting till we get to heaven to give us all that we have. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ right now. We're not waiting on eternal life. We have eternal life. And so as children of God, we should start acting like it and living like it, like we are who we say we are. A child of God, heirs and joint heirs. That's mind-boggling to me. My goodness. What manner of love had He bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? My, my, my. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, why don't you take your Bible this evening for a few minutes and go with me. Just keep your Bible open. We have several scriptures we're going to be looking at, and I'll be up front with you. I try to have messages formatted and alliterated and homiletically correct, and I take time to do that. You never see it because I never get to it. But if you could see my notes, you would be proud. But tonight, the Lord, well, I can't blame the Lord. I started to say the Lord was late, but that don't even make sense. That's the Lord's never late. One day He was accused of being 4 days late, but He was still on time. But the Lord changed in my heart this evening the direction we'd be going tonight. And so this thing is far from polished, but it is the Word of God. And so I hope you'll keep your Bibles open. And I failed to mention this morning what today is, and I apologize for that, but to be honest with you, it slipped my mind while I was up here. I woke up this morning thinking about what today is, and some of you young people, if you're 21 years old or younger, why don't you stand up? 21 years old or younger, stand to your feet. Quickly, like popcorn. Pop, pop, pop. Wow. Look around. Look around. You say, why would I have these stand? Those of you that are seated, not like me and the rest of these young people, those of us that are seated, this day is a day that, the anniversary of a day that we'll never forget. As a country, I'm sure you remember right exactly where you were, what you were doing a little over 21 years ago. And those of you that are standing, that all you have done is read about it in a book or watched a documentary, or I know my daughter is writing a book report on it on September the 11th, 9/11. It was a day in our country where evil was put on the front burner, where pure evil, demonic evil, as the Bible calls it, perilous days, we witnessed with our own eyes. And you ask any of these that are seated, it was more than seeing it on TV. You felt it in your heart. Fear, for the first time in our life, gripped us. And we didn't know if we were under attack deeper than what we were. It felt like the world stopped spinning. And and evil was amplified for every American and the world to see. It was like a paradigm shift. It was like something just thrust us into a different era to where evil was visibly seen. And it woke our country up long enough. It shook America when those planes flew into the towers, and when other planes were flying into the Pentagon, and another plane was hijacked, and some brave Americans took the hijacker, and they, knowing they would die, they said, "Let's roll," and they overpowered the hijackers, and they went to their own grave on purpose to save the lives of countless others. But evil was so visibly seen and palpable. And I say that, and I took the time to say it woke America up. Churches filled immediately all over the country. When you cut the TV on to the news, it was no longer talking heads and pundits talking about politics. It was liberals and conservatives and people who would never utter the name God. They were begging for Americans to come together and pray. I never seen anything like it in my lifetime. And I thought, surely this will bring revival to our country. But America woke up just long enough to roll over and go back to sleep. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I wish I could tell you, young people, that you will never see that again, and you'll only read about it in books. But sadly, it may not come in form of airplanes flying into buildings, but the same wicked, demonic, depraved spirit is in the heart of men today, and it's exponentially grown. And it's not just radical Muslims, but they are people all around the globe that hate America, but not just because we're America. They hate the God of America. They hate the God that we serve. They hate the Jew. They hate America because America has stood with the Jew, the apple of God's eye. And because of that, the Bible is so clear how this thing is going to play out in the end days. And the spirit of Antichrist is among us. You don't have to look far. I've been researching and studying this absolute spike to the degree of 4,000% spike in the last 5 years of young girls. 4,000% spike in the last 5 years of young girls being deceived by the wicked one, deceived by the devil, and drawn by the pull of this world, and indoctrinated in schools, in the public arena, on their phones, through social media, and every other avenue the devil could possibly pull. 4,000+% spike in young girls getting so confused and deceived by the devil into believing that God didn't create them as a girl. That God made some kind of mistake, if there is even a God, and that they are a boy trapped in a girl's body. And so they must transform into transgenderism. And you've all heard of LGBT. That's just how it started. Well, it started with G, which is gay, then L, and now it's LGBTQ, and a whole over 40 different so-called, over 40 different genders. And while we send our children to school, schools are opening their doors and public libraries are opening their doors to men dressed up as women. And some of the most vile and vulgar, wicked things are being published, printed, and pushed on children as young as 4 years old to indoctrinate them and desensitize them to the God of the Bible. And this world is in a state of mass confusion. And it's not by accident. And while Christians have fallen asleep, Peter's mentioned several times in his epistles, dealing with the last days, how that Christians would be rocked to sleep, and how that we better be awakened out of our sleep. Amen. Awake thou that sleepest. And while the homosexuals and the lesbians, and I could be sued, or and right up above us in Canada, many pastors are jailed as I preach tonight. In America, they are men of God who simply took a stand and proclaimed what thus saith the Lord and preach what the Bible says, that wickedness is an abomination in the sight of God. And now they're behind bars in jail, not in communist China, not in Russia, but I mean in Canada, our neighbor. And it is swiftly coming here. I've already been talked to and in detail by Christian lawyers and warned, not telling me I shouldn't and that I should change my message, and telling me that I just better be aware that there are lawyers lined up around the country looking and plotting and planning for ways to sue churches and preachers to put them under that would even name publicly. homosexuality and its sinfulness. You say, "What? Why would you start a message and after all that good singing and rejoicing?" I'm saying to us all, we are living in demonic days. We're living in days that if the church of the living God don't wake up, we are going to lose our children. There are parents in this church, and it ain't public knowledge to most, and they're so ashamed and they're so upset and torn, but their children, I'm talking about right here in an independent, fundamental, King James Bible-believing, old-fashioned Baptist church, and their children are, they got little girls and young boys that are battling the confusion of homosexuality and lesbianism. And in the last 5 years, and it's way more predominant. And this is not my opinion. This is statistics. This is facts. And you please go do your homework. Young girls are way more susceptible, and the percentages, the 4,000% jump and increase is young girls being pressured and pursued by the devil and the demons of hell and this world to believe that they are a boy trapped in a girl's body. And laws are being passed in America. Laws are being passed in America to where children without their parents' consent can have their bodies mutilated permanently. And children of the age of 4 and 5 and 6 years old in the school systems, wicked men and wicked school systems and wicked people in a hierarchy that's over the school systems have promoted and pushed and passed laws to where in the school system to where they can bring in this filth, this absolute wickedness, and teach to children as young as 4 and 5 years old and indoctrinate them without ever mentioning it to the parent. And they encourage them that there's places and people they can go and talk to that will accept them and that will embrace them because their parents don't understand and will not understand. But if they'll come to them, they will embrace them and do everything. They'll even take them to their visits and get them lined up to go mutilate their bodies and brainwashing our children. Are you listening to me? I didn't listen, that is a public service announcement, but that's nothing political about what I'm saying. I'm giving you hard, cold facts of how demonic and depraved this generation has come and what our children are facing. You say, did this take God by surprise? Absolutely not. It didn't take God by surprise. God has much, much to say about it. But sadly, lily-livered, spineless, yellow-bellied, milk-toast preachers have shut their mouth, have hushed, have quietened down, have toned it down, have dumbed it down, and they will preach on the love of God and the goodness of God and the grace and mercy of God, but they've run from preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God.
God forbid.
And we have desensitized. People say that shouldn't be spoke of in the church. I don't want my children hearing that kind of stuff at the church. If they don't hear it at the church in truth, yes, and in love,
yeah,
they will hear it from the perversion, yes, point of view, and they will be indoctrinated without ever being exposed to truth.
God forbid.
And it's high time, men of God and people of God take a stand and get a backbone like a saw log and stand up loud and cry aloud and spare not.
Amen.
Because our children are on the chopping block.
Yes, sir.
It's time we prepare for perilous days. And we are so far behind in this preparation. Because if you've been in church as long as I have, and been in church as long as Methuselah has, I mean Brother Jackie has. I had to lighten the load a little bit. But coming back to where we were, as Brother Milton Taylor would say, coming back to where we were. Listen to me. You remember, Brother Jackie, you remember men of God standing and preaching that the days would come that we're living in. I remember growing up hearing great men of God like Andrew Kerrigan, like Dr. Ed Maccabee, and great men of God, Mays Jackson and Oliver B. Green, and godly men stand up and preach the day will come.
Yeah.
A day of deception. Perilous, dark, demonic days will come, and we better prepare. And we have lived long enough to make it to those days. They're not coming. They're here. And so for a few minutes this evening, I just want to give you some scripture. And I want to give you four things every born-again believer better know in order to prepare for the days we're living. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, if you're there, I may have forgot to tell you where to turn. 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn there quickly, leave your Bible open because there's other places we will need to go. When you get there, say amen. I'll give you a moment. I still hear pages turning. I want you to see and read not what Preacher Rochester says, but what God Almighty has said and is saying. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Could I say, along with Peter, it's high time our minds be stirred. I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by holy prophets, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Let me pause here and say, please, as we have mentioned briefly how wicked this generation has become and how dangerous and how dark this day has become and how demonic men's minds are and how reprobate people have become. Please don't let the devil talk you into and convince you that God has checked out, and that these men will have their rule and their reign, and it'll be unchecked. No, my friend. God is still God, and God is still on the throne, and God still, hey, listen, none of this is taking God by surprise. And hey, judgment is coming. Judgment's coming. Reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Listen, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And boy, you ought to thank God for that. Hey, listen, if I was God, I'd have punted this mud ball called planet Earth into hell a long time ago. I mean, if I'd have seen the wickedness, and if I'd have seen men thumbing their nose at me, and if I'd have heard men cussing and damning the very God of heaven, I'd have thrown mankind into hell a long, long time ago. But ain't you glad? Happy day, happy day. Ain't you glad we serve a God who's rich in mercy and who's long-suffering and who loved you enough to wait and to come after you and chase after you and follow you. And when you said no, He followed again. And when you said no and you rebelled, He kept following you and following you until He found you.
Amen, preacher.
Oh, I thank God we have a God who's long suffering to usward. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I'm for every one of us having a job. I think a man that won't work don't deserve to eat. That's what the Bible says. I think a man that won't work is worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. But did you hear what I just read? And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. If you're a child of God, I wouldn't hammer my stakes in too deep. I wouldn't put every bit of energy and effort I have into building bigger barns and building bigger buildings. There is a work that must be done. And I'm simply saying, work your job, build your business. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Hey, seek Him first and realize there's a world dying without God. And the majority of our time, hey listen, the majority of our time should be to live for Him, to work for Him, to serve Him, to win lost people to God. I don't know what's come over the church in America, and since I'm not the pastor, Brother Jackie, of the Church of America, I'm the pastor of Morningstar Baptist Church, so I'll just preach here tonight. But some of you, I love you enough to tell you the truth, some of you used to wouldn't miss church for nothing in the world. And what used to be a once every blue moon, because you had to work, now you choose to work, and it's become more than a once ever blue moon. It's become a once ever blue moon that you make it to church because you care so much about your job. And you need to get back to caring so much about Jesus and put the job on the back burner. You say, but I won't make as much money. No, but you'll have the favor of God on you. That money's going to burn one day. And everything that money buys is going to burn one day. But you and your wife, you and your husband, you and your children need Jesus way more than you need a job. And you need the house of God way more than you need a house that you want to build or build bigger. And it's high time people who name the name of Christ get back in the house of God faithfully. Amen. You say, are you calling me out? If the shoe fits, honey, put it on. Amen. You say, you embarrassing me. You've already embarrassed me. Yeah. It's a shame that it's become commonplace and natural and expected to be normal and expected for nobody to ever say a word. Well, I'm your pastor, and if I don't say something to you with a heart of love, and I have been patient, I have been gracious and long-suffering, and I have not said a word, but it's high time. If you're a member at Morningstar Baptist Church and you're going to get in that choir, or you're going to hold a position in this church, if you're going to take up an offering, I expect you to be here faithfully. And faithfully ain't just on Sundays. Have enough integrity. If you ain't going to be faithful to the house of God, step aside.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
God knows my heart. I'm not being mean. Amen. I'm not being mean. But it hurts my integrity, and it hurts. And I got to stand before God one day. And when we're trying to train up young people and we're trying to train up new converts, and they see me putting people in positions and they don't see you half the time, it ain't just a reflection on you. It's a reflection on me and on this church of what kind of standards we have. If you teach a Sunday school class and somebody has a substitute for you more than you teach, have enough integrity and step down, and let's get a teacher in there. Amen. And that applies for playing the piano, leading the choir, taking the offering up, teaching a class, across the board. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Well, fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Here we go. Listen. Goes right into what I'm dealing with. What manner of persons ought ye to be in an holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Our excuses are not going to hold water. You say, but preacher, don't you understand? I got this going on, and my children's got that going on, and we've got to be there, and I've got to be here. I'm just simply going to say this. At the judgment, there's going to be a lot of wood, hay, and stubble that's going to burn. And your excuses will burn. And all that will be left will be the truth. So don't, listen, you don't have to convince me. You don't have to convince me. But our actions better convince God, who's going to judge with fire. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Please understand and please know, God knows my heart. I didn't come tonight. As you turn and you keep turning and listen, I did not come tonight with a stone to throw or an axe to grind. I had nothing planned. Everything I just said was unplanned. But I don't back up an inch on anything I just said. I believe God in heaven will say amen to everything I just said. And I said it in love, not out of anger. I said it in love. I want what's best for you and your family and your children in this church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep. There it is again. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Listen, I'm trying to sound the alarm. I'm trying to sound the alarm. Some have been sleeping. Many have been sleeping. And over, He's saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. I'm trying just to be the alarm clock. Says, wake up. The days are dark. The days are dangerous. It's no time to be sleeping. God knew you. God called you. God allowed you to be born in this day, in this generation. God wanted you and me on the front lines to fight this battle. And what kind of front linemen are we? While the fiery darts of hell whiz by our heads toward our children, what kind of soldiers are we if we sleep on the front lines? The devil's targeting our children, and it's no time to sleep. And I will say this, according to the verse we just read, you can sleep. It ain't gonna change whether or not you saved or not. Did you hear the verse we just read? Listen to it again. He said, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. I'm reminded of what Jesus said. Listen. When Jesus needed His disciples, when He took those three, Peter, James, and John, and He took them a little further, and Jesus was headed to Calvary, He was headed to Golgotha, He was headed to the cross, and if ever He needed His disciples, He said, would you pray with me? He was in such agony that His sweat turned as great drops of blood, and He agonized with God, realizing He was about to have to drink the bitter cup. He was about to have to take the cup, the bitter cup of sin. That cup was filled with my sin and with your sin. It's the same cup that He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And if He ever needed them boys, it was then. He needed some frontliners. And He said, would you pray with me? Watch and pray. Please hear me. Jesus went a little further and he went to pray, and when he come back, if there had ever been a time he needed them to stay awake and pray, it was then. Only for Jesus to return to find his frontliners, his hand chosen, his most faithful, asleep. And I'm reminded of the words. What did Jesus tell them? Sleep on. After three times, he finally just said, okay. I mean, he woke them up and he said, would you not watch and pray with me? Just for an hour. And then finally, you know, it broke the heart of Jesus. But he finally said, I don't know what more I can do. I'm about to give my body to be beaten for the sins of the world. I'm about to taste death for every man. I'm about to become sin. I'm about to become and bear your sin. And after three times, he finally said, sleep on. Sleep on. I wonder tonight, Jesus needs some frontline soldiers. This is the perilous days he spoke of. This is the demonic days where the current of the world is pulling at a breakneck speed, and I mean like a tsunami. It's just taking everything in its path. It's sucking children left and right. It's pulling lost people left and right down the canyon. And listen, Jesus said, I need some frontline soldiers who won't sleep. Wake out of your sleep. Wake out of your sleep. Would you pray? Would you watch and pray? I wonder if Jesus tonight, and he is here, I wonder if you would see him standing over you, knowing how bad he needs you, knowing how bad he wants you, knowing how much he gave for you, knowing how much he suffered for you, and he's standing nose to nose with you. Don't let the Son of God see you in this hour when he needs you. Don't make him say, I knew I couldn't count on sleep on. I'll have to find somebody else. I'll have to go it alone. Sleep on. What a disappointment. Don't you know it broke the heart of God? Don't you know the Father who was giving his only begotten Son? Don't you know the Father looked down and thought, my Son, all that you're giving, all that you're going through for them. Don't you know it disappointed the heart of God? And I'm simply saying to me first and to you, don't disappoint him. He's never disappointed you. He's never let you down. He's never slept on you. And he needs you to stand up and speak out and awake out of your sleep. The book of Ezekiel, you don't have to turn there, but listen. Chapter 7, verse 10. Behold the day, behold, it is come. The morning is gone forth, the rod hath blossomed, pride hath budded. Violence is risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of the multitude, nor of any of theirs. Neither shall there be wailing for them. The time is come. The day draweth near.
Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. The time has come. Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Jeremiah 12:5, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I'm saying this to us tonight, church. Our easiest days are behind us. Jordan is swelling. No longer will we be fighting with the footmen, but the horsemen. You can hear the hooves coming. And if you thought being a Christian has been hard up till now, buckle up, honey, because I'm telling you, hard days are upon us. I've heard people say all my life, I'd die for Jesus. If they was to come in with machine guns and put in my head and tell me to deny Jesus, I'd go out with a blaze of glory. I'd tell them, pull the trigger. I wouldn't deny Jesus. Well, you done the easy part. You wrote the check. I doubt you cash it. You won't even come to church faithfully. And you expect me to believe you're going to take a bullet for Jesus? We talk a good game, boy. Reminds me a lot of a man named Peter who kept his foot in his mouth all the time. And Jesus said, by the way, you can get mad at me for preaching this tonight, but you're in good company. Listen, Jesus said, Peter, Simon, you're going to deny me before the cock crows thrice. You're going to deny me. Peter bowed up like a banty rooster. Not me, Lord. I'd go to the ends of the world. I'd die for thee. Needless to say, what Jesus said happened. Peter talked a good game. But when it got hard, he ate them words. And he cussed the very God he said he'd die for. And I'm saying to us all, there's no time to put it off any longer. If you've ever planned on getting serious with God, if you've ever planned on getting in, if you've ever planned on getting faithful, your children need it now. They can't afford hit and miss Christianity. They can't afford, I promise you, the transgender movement and the homosexuals and those drag queens that's going to show up at the school and at the library and try to push their filth and their perversions down your child's throat, they ain't taking a day off. They'll come work after hours while we sleep and lay out.
God forbid.
Some of you wouldn't let your child miss a ball practice for nothing in the world. But you have no problem laying out of church and teaching them to do the same. You might have could have used to got by with that. It ain't never been right. It ain't never been good. It ain't never been acceptable. But I promise you, you cannot afford that, Daddy. Your children cannot afford that any longer. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Because Jordan's swelling and the horses are coming. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be loved. Listen, I know you know this scripture, but it's the Word of God. Are you hearing me? You say, you've read that before. He says, duh. Yeah, it's the Bible. And it's more prevalent right now than it's ever been. Listen to these words and just be honest with yourself. Be open-minded and open-hearted. And ask yourself, does this not explain the day and hour we're living? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep in houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Here it is. Here it is. Listen to this verse and tuck it deep down in your heart. Because you're going to need this verse. You're going to need it to rise up and live in you. You're going to need it to remind you every day. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Are you being persecuted? Are you being persecuted? If you're not, there's a reason. Because it didn't say some that live godly. It didn't say most that live godly. All that live godly. Not maybe, not might. Shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Here's our command. Here's our instruction from the captain of our salvation. If you're going to be on the front lines, here's our instruction. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the introduction. I ain't gonna be able to finish tonight, but please. Please, 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 please know the Lord changed my heart this afternoon. I felt like the devil attacked me. Got a migraine headache about 4 o'clock this afternoon. Still got it. The devil done his best to convince me not to preach tonight. I even called and texted two other preachers and told them, be ready to preach tonight. Because I can't even, my eyes were crossing, my head was hurting so bad, I couldn't even read. But I'm convinced with every fiber of being in me that God Almighty sent this message tonight to you and to me to warn us and to waken us. Because the days are not going to get better and easier. And if there's ever been a time, the Lord needs you. If there's ever been a time, your family needs you. If there's ever been a time, this church needs you. If there's ever been a time, sinners, they need to see some real Christian men who are not sleeping, but who are awake on the front lines, willing and ready to do battle with the devil and the world and your flesh. Oh, we'll fight the devil and we'll fight the world. But hey, preacher, don't ask me to bother myself. I can't inconvenience myself. Yourself and myself is the one who's doing the most damage. Our own flesh is the one who's rocked us to sleep. By the way, nobody that I know likes to get woke up. This morning, 3 o'clock, come early. Brother Jimmy, I wanted to punt that alarm clock in the next week. 3 o'clock, Lord. And I could have slept in. But hey, this is too important. I can't afford to get up and preach in my own flesh, in my own power. I have to have the time to pray and seek the face of God and get a word from God. And I didn't like being woke up. My flesh hates it. But it's worth it. And I plead with you. As bad as it feels to be woke up physically, it don't feel no better to be woke up spiritually to the flesh. Your flesh hates it, but it's so necessary. Your children need you, Daddy, to wake up. Are you willing to sleep and lose your child to this world? Are you willing to sleep and lose your family, lose your marriage? I plead with you. God sent a word. God sent a word, and I plead with you. I plead with myself. Receive the word. I'm not going to preach this, but I do want to tell you the four things, and we'll be done. And then we'll baptize. Every believer needs to know in these last days the sinfulness of people without God. It's going to get worse and more wicked by the day. And nothing will amaze you and surprise you at the things we'll see unfold by wicked men. Not only the sinfulness of people without God, but the surest possession. You need to know this. The surest possession in these last days is the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word, the surest possession you have is the Word of God. Every believer needs to know the sinfulness of people without God. The surest possession is the Word of God. Number three, the safest place is in the will of God. Perilous days, that's dangerous. Say, what do I do? Where do I go? Where do I hide? Where do I seek shelter? Nestle yourself right in the center of God's will. And there's safety.
your safety. And finally, sadly, the scariest promise. Every believer needs to know this. The scariest promise is the wrath of God. It's imminent. It's coming. And people we love, people we care about, people we grew up with, people that we, some of, may live with, they're on direct collision course with the wrath of God. It's the most fearful thing you could ever imagine. If you think, and I plan to deal with it in detail, but please know this. If you think anything we've seen thus far is scary, this world ain't seen nothing yet. In one day, one-third of the population, one-third of the world's vegetation and landmass will be destroyed in a day. The wrath of God is coming upon this world. And God needs men on the front line and women on the front line to see this thing through till He comes. Let's stand together, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in Jesus' name, we love You, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. Oh, God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus, from the depths of our heart. God, thank You for Jesus. Lord, thank You, Father, for Your precious Son. Thank You, Father, for loving us, God. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for revealing, Lord, to us, God, for being our guide, being our guard, Lord, for being our comfort. And I pray, oh God, You'd help us to awake out of our sleepiness, out of our lethargy, God. Arouse us and awake us, Lord. God, that we'd be lively hopes, God. God, that we would be living stones, Lord. God, that we would put on the whole armor of God, Lord, and be willing and ready to go out in the morning, God, armed and dangerous, ready to fight the devil, this world, and our flesh. Help us, Lord God, to mortify our members, reckon ourselves to be dead, realizing, Lord, we're not our own, but we've been bought with a price. And as we face perilous days, oh God, help us, oh God, to keep the surest thing we have, Your Word, in our heart, that we wouldn't sin against You. God, help us to get to the safest place we can find, and that's in Your will. Realizing, Lord, the sinfulness of man is going to wax worse and worse. But, oh God, the scariest thing coming is the wrath of God. May we see it. May we believe it. May we prepare for it, God. And walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Fill us afresh. Help us, God, to empty ourselves out afresh, Lord, and do business with You. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need these altars, they're open.
As the darkness closes in on this world full of sin, look around you, there's very few left standing. The Word of God's been compromised, holy living criticized, and iniquity on every hand's abounding. But if you have a place to go where the old
these are praying, would you come?
Is being told, and the man God will preach the word in power.
These are praying, would you come?
Don't forsake
people doing business
it,
with God, you come.
Friend, as we're nearing the end, it's the strength that you
yes.
need for this hour. So much the
yes.
more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
I'll
be good if some of you daddies get your youngins and come pray with them. Would you come?
We need the church and the saints.
Yes, Lord.
And the worship of the Lord.
Oh, Lord, have Your way.
To
Some of you daddies, get your children, get your wives, and come get in this altar.
So much the more.
Make a vow to your children. Make a vow to your family. Make a vow to God.
Not for food or for water, but the hearing of the precious word of God. And this world can't understand why I build my life around it. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord so much the more. As you see the day approaching,